Well, let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Good to see some new faces since we've been gone. That's what happens when you leave. Other folks come. That's a good thing. Romans chapter 5. As I think I said a number of months ago, one of the things nice about not being the pastor who's preaching every week, and when you get a bit older, this is my 45th year of full-time ministry, is that you get to just kind of choose the passages that you want to preach. And so this was a blessing to me about a year ago, and I've been meditating on it and decided to preach four or five messages out of this particular passage of Scripture. Paul says here to the believers in Rome, he says, therefore, verse 1, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. I think all of us would agree as believers who understand our Bibles, who understand prophecy, understand the times that we live in, that we would say that this is a world that is at war with God. This is a world that is at war with God. And Paul tells us here that as believers, we have peace with God. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But notice the word there, since. Since indicates that peace is based on something. What's what it's based? It's based on having been justified by faith. So as at some point, we were not justified. So therefore, we did not have peace. We can all say that assuredly this morning. So if we did not have peace, what did we have? Well, the opposite of peace with God is hostility with Him. We were in a hostile relationship with God. We, as Ephesians says, were His enemies. Every person here this morning who was at some point not a believer was in a hostile relationship with the Creator God. And in chapters 1 through 4, Paul traces that progression from hostility to peace. You remember in chapter 1, it's a stark account of man's hostile relationship to the Creator's moral order. Many would like to deny what Paul is saying there, but Paul is very clear. God has a certain moral order, and man puts his fist up and says, no, I will live the way I want to live, even if it is completely unnatural. And I was reading in Ecclesiastes the other day in chapter 7, and the writer says, see, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. And isn't that the truth about man today? God created man with a sense of morality. Of course, the curse came and so on, but they seek out many schemes, and it never ceases to amaze me how many schemes man can come up with. Anything opposite of what God wants. And that's the world we live in today. In chapter 2, he describes that same kind of loathing, but from a little bit different perspective. It is despising those formed by the Creator, yet guilty of the same abominations as they despise. That's something that we need to be careful of, for sure. Despising those formed by the Creator, but guilty of the same abominations as those they despise. Then in chapter 3, man takes his war with God to another level, where they rail against God, who rejects their good works and declares them all unrighteous, completely condemned, worthless, mouths that are open graves. So their ultimate path is ruin and misery. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. This week we saw in the United States, we saw the decision come down in the matter of Roe v. Wade. And you can never be completely surprised at the scheming mind of men. But one particular governor in the United States from a large state commented on the decision by the Supreme Court and said, this decision, referring to the justices, this decision is reprehensible on every level. Can you imagine? Can you even begin to picture what that means? Reprehensible that the lives of babies are being saved? That kind of a statement is the epitome of a hostile relationship with the giver of life. That's all it is. It is because their minds are darkened and they are enemies of God. And at one time, each of us here this morning were at war with the Creator of the universe. Whenever you came to know Christ as your Savior, you were, before that, you were at war with the Creator of the universe. I'll go on to talk about that in another message a little bit more. But our consciences fight against everything and did fight against everything that was wrapped up in his moral character. We were part of that world that was united against God in a state of hostility with God. And we were all pursuing the same thing that comes out of our fallen natures, sin. That was our default position. But we exhausted our weapons supply in the war. Every bit of ammunition, every conceivable type of weapon that we would fight with against the Creator, none of it was a match for his firepower. We didn't even know that he had the weapons of love and grace and mercy. And we who did not know the paths of peace finally surrendered, looked to the one who died, who was buried and rose again, and we cried out in faith and repentance for his salvation. We were covered by the blood of his Son, asked him to be the supreme commander in our lives. And immediately, when that happened, we were made right in God's sight, justified by faith. Dave Jr. is going to sing a song here in a few weeks. Very hard to find. I used to hear it as a kid all the time. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus. Wonderful song. And justified by faith. And at that moment, all hostility ceased between us and God. We were no longer in a hostile relationship. And God says said at that point, I give you my everlasting peace. One writer said, despite how small and insignificant we are, and how often we have sinned against him, and how prone we are to take him for granted, God did not make war against us, but received the war to give us peace. The songwriter said, before the cross I kneel and see the measure of my sin. How you became a curse for me, though you were innocent. The magnitude of your great love was shown in full degree when righteous blood, the crimson spill, rained down from Calvary. Oh, the precious blood that flowed from mercy's side, washed away my sin when Christ, my Savior, died. Oh, the precious blood of Christ, the crucified. It speaks for me before your throne, where I stand justified. And who am I that I should know this treasure of such worth? My Savior's pure, atoning blood, shed for the wrath I'd earned. For sin has stained my every deed, my every word and thought. What wondrous love that makes me one your priceless blood has bought. A crown of thorns, pierced hands and feet, a body bruised, and mercy's plea. I'm justified. I'm no longer at war with God Almighty. One writer said, this is the glory of the gospel, that in it God is actually on bended knee and with tear-dimmed eye begging men and women to be reconciled to himself. You see that he's doing that even today? If any enmity exists, it exists on man's part. God has removed any barriers to complete fellowship with him, himself and man. The Lord has done all he can possibly do. Now man must lay down his arms of rebellion, must cease his stubborn revolt, and must be reconciled to God. That is the message for every person who is in a hostile relationship with God. But notice, Paul goes on to say, it is through our Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator said, peace, perfect spiritual soundness, is the finished work of Christ in the soul. That is so true. It is the finished work of Christ in the soul. Justification and peace come only through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's as simple as it is. So as I was looking at this passage, I asked the question to myself, what does that peace look like now as it's outlined in this passage? What does that peace look like compared to our once hostile relationship with the Creator? We talk about having peace. What does that look like? Notice the next phrase there. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Well, instead of hostility, we have obtained access by faith into this grace. Peace with God means having his grace, his favor. The first thing that happened when you were justified and you had peace with God is you and I were recipients of his grace, his favor. Before our salvation, we were his enemy. There was no intimacy. There was no fellowship. No communing with a God of utter holiness. People talk about praying to God, but they've never come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never come based on his sacrifice, based on what he did for them. They can pray. There might be some common grace, but they cannot have a relationship with the God of the universe. They do not understand his grace and his favor. Another writer said, God is next spoken of as dwelling in unapproachable light. This speaks of the bright, shining glory which surrounds the throne of God. Man in his natural condition would be vaporized by this splendor. Only those who are accepted in the Beloved One and complete in Christ can ever approach God without being destroyed. And that's true this morning. We dare not think we can approach the God of holiness except through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have peace with him. We have been recipients. We have access into his presence. He is saying, come. It's not just a matter of us saying, oh, I'm going to come. No, he says, come. I give you my permission to come into my presence because of what my Son did for you. I'm sure most of us have heard of the phrase, being ghosted. Have you heard of that phrase, being ghosted? It's going on a lot today. It's really a nasty thing. It's where someone, you've offended someone, someone's offended with you, and they absolutely will not talk to you. They won't. You call them, you write them, you email them, you text them, and you get no response. They don't want anything to do with you. It's a horrible thing. Should never happen amongst Christians. I mean, even if we have disagreements and so on, we should be willing to sit down and say, well, here's the disagreement. So, but it's going on, and it's acceptable. If you read the advice columnists or whatever, they say, well, sometimes you just have to do that. You just have to say to that person. Now, there may be times where folks don't get along, and it might be best for two personalities. I mean, as Christians, we should try the best we can do, but sometimes because of one reason or other, we understand that it's difficult. But I don't want anything to do with you. Aren't you glad God doesn't treat us that way? We'd be in a lot of trouble if he did. He does not treat us that way. He says, you have access to this favor. You have access. You can come in to my presence. Those of us who are believers, through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father welcomes us to approach him and talk with him at any time. We have an access that is unknown to a world of lost sinners. And it is an access into his grace. I was studying that phrase, and it was described in various ways, intimacy, favor, shining favor towards us and so on. But as I studied it, I thought what it means more than anything else is that you get the idea that God is literally leaning towards us. He's leaning towards us because of his Son, Jesus Christ. He cannot wait to bless us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. That's the way our God looks at us this morning. Not because of the way I feel. When we first came home from Hawaii, I had jet lag. I didn't feel very spiritual. They always say when you're going back home, east is the worst, you know. It's only 3 hours, but I didn't feel very spiritual. I'm still justified. I'm still no longer an enemy of God. And he is always leaning towards us. I appreciate the scripture reading this morning. There was God. He had to discipline his people. It was necessary. But when they cried out to him, he was there. He was ready to hear. He was ready to bring deliverance. Because that's who he is. He is a God who leans towards his people. Another writer, John, said, John 1:16 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. There is nothing small about Jesus. He has fullness of grace upon grace for our need upon need. Our risen Lord above at this very moment is not tired. He's not tired of you. You can dig deeper into his grace, deeper than you've ever dug before, and you will never touch bottom. You will never ask too much of him. You will never ask too often. He will never respond to you with an eye roll and say, "Really? You again?" This is the 19th time just today you've come back asking for more strength. What is your problem? No, that's what we're like. Let's never project unto him our own pettiness. He has fullness of grace for you moment by moment. Go to him. Go back to him. Never stop going back to him. He is always happy to welcome you and help you, the real you. That's true. He's a God that's leaning towards his people. He loves us because of what his Son did for us. And today, as I close, I know that some of us today need his grace more than we've ever needed his grace. We see through a glass darkly right now. And though he's given us enough understanding of him to follow him, and we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we tend to wrestle with that which we do not understand. That's every one of us. And be sure of this. The enemy will try to use our feeble understanding against us. He's going to do that all the time. He'll try to convince us that we as believers, that we're still in a hostile relationship with God. Has he done that to you? When doubts and fears assail, and some of you think, God could never forgive me. God could never. That's one reason I chose that song this morning, "Does Jesus Care?" When I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, think, he couldn't forgive me. He couldn't put up with me. Yes. And despite all the constant and vicious attacks of our adversary, they are no match for the eternal graciousness of our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. I don't care how many times he attacks you. They're no match for our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And may I just say this morning that he has always been righteous from eternity past. He is righteous now, and he will always be righteous. And we can trust him. We can look to his grace. I want you to think about one thing as we go out of here this morning. We have access into this grace, and there's so much we could say about grace this morning. But grace means that we can say, I have so much more than I deserve. I have so much more than I deserve. And I would just ask all of us this week as we go out to think on that thought. I have access, I've been justified, I have peace with God, no longer in a hostile relationship. I have His grace, I have access into His grace, and that means I have so much more than I deserve. And I just want us to meditate on that all this week. What does that mean? I have so much more than I deserve. I think you will be amazed at what you can come up with as you think about that thought. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning. Father, how grateful we are for your word. We're thankful that the war has ended for us. We are in a war, but it is not the war against you. And we thank you that we have your wonderful, wonderful grace. We thank you that it was finished upon that cross. And we pray that we might leave here this morning grateful that we are crucified with Christ and that He lives in us, yet not I, but Christ lives in us. And because of your love and your mercy, we walk with you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.